I noticed an article on a website called Vox. It's a news site. And I wanted to find out more about this particular article around Amazon. The suggestion being made is that Amazon as a company are far more entrepreneurial and far more able to deliver than Google in terms of services. And Timothy Lee is the guy who wrote the article, and he joins us now on the line. Hi, Timothy.
Hi there.
Tell us a bit about Vox, first of all. It's a website I go onto occasionally, but tell us a bit about it.
We are a web-based news organization. Our mission is to explain the news. So there's a lot of news organizations that'll tell you what happened yesterday, say in Syria or something like that. But they're, if you haven't been following that particular story closely, you might not have all the context to like understand what's going on. And so we try to be the site you can go to where we kind of explain things from the beginning help people understand complex topics that may not be well explained by other news organizations.
Okay, cool. You know, Donald Trump hasn't called you out for citing fake news yet, no?
Not that I've heard.
Just, I know it's been a bit of a recurring theme over the past week or so. Okay, yeah. So you wrote an article which intrigued me because it was talking about the rise of Amazon and mm-hmm. how Amazon can do what Google can't. And I thought that was a really interesting headline. I read through the whole article thinking you're going to debunk this headline somewhere in it, but you didn't. You actually are deadly serious. You think that Amazon is actually getting to the point where it's starting to be able to do things with technology that Google just can't either imagine or will ever do.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that the key thing that Amazon is good at that some of the other technology companies I think both on Google and Apple in that article is that they really have a intense focus on the customer and on kind of entrepreneurial culture that most big companies don't exactly. I mean, so most companies, if you look at Google is really, really good at making online services. You know, obviously you have the search engine and you have Gmail and you have Google Maps. You know, they've added to their stable of online services. But when they tried to kind of tackle more ambitious things, like Google Glass is a good example, their approach is really to focus first on the technology. And Google Glass was an amazing piece of technology. It did things that no other technology could do. It looked kind of cool, although some people thought it looked kind of dorky. But anyway, like they like made some amazing technology. But what they really were not good at is getting feedback quickly from users about, is this actually useful? And then iterating to you know, come up with something that that actually would have be a big hit in the marketplace. And Amazon has been really disciplined about doing that, about getting things out in the marketplace quickly, and about allowing different projects to operate autonomously so that the existing culture of, in Google's case, you know, Google has a lot of processes in place that are really focused on online services. And so what they do works really well for online services, but often not as well for other types of products.
It's interesting because, you know, a lot of people out there think of Amazon as what was a bookshop and then it became a store that you could buy online. And people have kind of got their head around that now there's other services that Amazon provide, like video and TV services and music as well. You know, and that sort of baseline stuff that a lot of people understand is there. But they are working on so many other projects now. And we're seeing that but with the launch of the Amazon Echo, for example.
Yes, absolutely. And I really think people are still underestimating the Amazon Echo. It sold pretty well in the 2015 holiday season, then it sold much better in the 2016 holiday season. But we really saw in the last couple of months, and with CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, is that Amazon's Alexa is becoming the default platform by which people interact with computers with their voice. And this, I think, sounds silly to a lot of people when they first hear about it, there are a lot of devices where it might make sense to have some computing power in the device, but you don't want to put a screen on it. And so if the voice recognition technology is good enough that it actually works, that you can actually say, you know, Alexa, turn on the lights, and it actually does that, that can actually be a useful feature in a lot of different kinds of products. And Amazon is hoping Alexa becomes, you know, just as Windows was kind of the standard interface for the PC and Android and iOS are the standard interfaces for smartphones, I think Amazon is hoping that Alexa becomes a standard way for interacting with a computer that doesn't have a screen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are also keen at the moment to see how this develops because they obviously want to, you know, see this technology. And if you're really into all of this kind of tech, you're probably wondering if you should hold on because, of course, in the UK, we haven't got it yet, but Google Home is coming. You have it in the States, though.
Yeah, so I have an Alexa, an Echo, which has Alexa built in, and I enjoy it. I mean, the thing about it is that they're not that expensive. I think the Echo is $150, and there's an Echo Dot, which is a smaller one with a lower quality speaker that I think is $50. So it's not a huge investment. So if you're curious about this, you know, and you have some money, I would say dropping $50 to kind of play around with it makes sense. But I think there's also, at least initially, not going to be as much lock-in on the consumer side. You know, if you buy a PC and you have all your PC files and then you wanted to buy a Mac, at least a couple decades ago, that was a really difficult thing to do. But the voice-based model, I think, is a little bit more portable. So if you get an Echo and you have it for a year and then later you decide you want the Google one or the Apple one or whatever, I think it's not going to be as difficult to switch.
Going back to your point, though, your central point about Amazon doing things that Google can't, do you think that's because, and I've said this for a long time, and some people laugh when I say it, but I think it's fair to say that Google come up with some great ideas, but they just don't always follow them through. Is that
a
problem?
Yeah, I think that's, I think that kind of goes both ways, right? I mean, the companies have to be smart about when do you follow an idea through and when do you not. So, for example, Amazon launched a smartphone in maybe 2014 that was a total disaster, and they tried it for a few months and then they gave up on it. I think one of the things that Amazon is maybe good about is being disciplined about starting out small. So they released the Echo as kind of a limited release in 2014 and then released it to the general public a year later. If that early release had gotten bad user feedback, maybe they just wouldn't have released it to the general public, or maybe they would have made significant changes. And I think that Google is just not as good at soliciting user feedback and then incorporating that feedback into their products. And so sometimes you have, I mean, the Google Glass, I think, is maybe an example of this. They got a lot of hype for the Google Glass before they'd really figured out what it was good for. And then people kept waiting for, you know, are you going to do this? I mean, I don't think that the problem with Google Glass is they didn't stick with it long enough. I think the problem in some ways is that the opposite, that they were like a little bit too ambitious about, too enthusiastic about it before they figured out what they were doing. And I think the another product that that Amazon is doing that I'm fairly optimistic about that I'm going to be really watching closely is Amazon Go, which is this plan for a grocery store that doesn't have any checkout lanes. And, you know, in that case, there was a report in the Wall Street Journal that they were planning to open thousands of these stores. And they may do that, but Amazon pushed back very hard about that against that and said, no, this is just one store. And so if that one store turns out to be a failure, I think there'll be less of a blowback than if they started from the beginning and said, this is going to revolutionize all of retail.
So basically what you're saying is Amazon are better at marketing than Google.
Well, they're better at marketing, but they're also better at getting that user feedback, right?
Yeah,
I mean, they are, they're better at managing expectations. But also, I think one of the things that happens is once you have told the public that you have this new thing that's going to do X, if it turns out the public doesn't actually want X, it's much harder to shift and have the product do Y. And by starting out in a low-key way where you're getting the feedback before you hype up the product, that gives you room, I think, to pivot to doing a different thing with that product if it doesn't turn out the way you expected.
Where does Apple sit in all of this?
Apple is interesting. I think they have a similar situation with Google in that they have one thing they're good at, which is user interfaces and physical devices. So obviously the iPhone is an amazing product. The Mac line of laptops is very effective. And they've been really good at creating those kind of products. But they have a very unusual structure where most companies have different divisions for different products. So, you know, Microsoft has a division that has for online stuff, and they have a division for Windows, et cetera. Apple doesn't have that. They just have a vice president for sales and a vice president for engineering, et cetera. And they have different people, have the same people working on all their different products. And I think one consequence of that is that they have to be hyper-focused on doing one thing well, which in this case is making smart devices. And so anytime they try to stray from that, for example, Apple at various times have launched various kinds of online services, of which I think iCloud is the most prominent. And, you know, iCloud is fine, but it is really not, you know, they had a lot of problems early just kind of making it reliable, and it is not something that's going to, be a category killer where it becomes like the standard. It's just a kind of add-on to the iPhone. I think anytime Apple strays outside of that, like, core market of gadgets with beautiful user interfaces, they're just not as good at doing that. And I think that's because they don't, like, the thing Amazon is really good at doing with its internal structure is spinning off a small group of people who can act autonomously, kind of like a startup, and experiment with a new product. And Apple does the opposite. The whole company focuses on one thing at a time, and they don't have a good process for saying, okay, these 10 people are going to go off and, you know, try something totally new in retail stores or cloud services or whatever the new product category might be.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's more entrepreneurial in that sense. You go off, you do what you want to do with this product, take a few people with you, but not the whole company as Apple might. It's interesting because there's two things in my mind that are going to be huge this year. AI, as in artificial intelligence, which of course comes in the form of Amazon Echo at the moment, Google Home, all of that. I think that's going to be huge. I also think that VR, virtual reality, is going to be big. Apple doing neither, really. I mean, okay, I know Siri exists, but it's not really the same as an Amazon Echo or a Google Home. What do you think about that? And do you think Apple are falling behind?
I don't think that's the right way to think about it. I guess I would put those in different categories. I mean, if you think about the iPhone was not the first smartphone on the market by a long shot. The iPhone was just the first smartphone that kind of got everything right and like figured out like what the right model is. And it seems to me that VR is likely in the same kind of position that smartphones were in, you know, 2000 or 2003 or something like that, where, you know, there are a few products on the market. It has, you know, techies excited. But I don't think anybody has come, if you look at the major players here, you look at Oculus or Microsoft's done, I don't think anybody's come up with a really compelling consumer product. And this actually is at the core of what Apple does. I mean, it's not exactly a gadget with a screen, but it is the core challenge is how do you come up with a good user interface and integrate that with powerful software and hardware and make it user-friendly. So I could imagine Apple 1, 2, 3 years from now coming up with like the category killer, you know, the iPhone of virtual reality. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I definitely think there's room for that because it's not there's definitely not like an established brand that everybody's loyal to yet in that category. In AI, I think it's just I think it's really about business strategy. So as you say, they had Siri, and in principle, there's no reason they could not have followed the same strategy that Amazon does, and you know, license out Siri to lots of different vendors. The reason they didn't do that is because they made a strategic decision that, you know, Apple is an iPhone company. They sell smartphones and tablets and laptops, and they don't license their stuff to other people. And that model has worked very well for them in general. I mean, it's really hard to criticize anything Apple does because the iPhone is the most successful product in world history and generates these tremendous products. But one of the downsides to that is when they have a promising technology that's not a smartphone or laptop, they are not as good as exploiting it as Google or Amazon, because Google and Amazon are very willing to put their products on other people's platforms and to license it out and to kind of have it become this ubiquitous standard. Whereas Apple's strategy is all about, you know, we're all about selling iPhones and everything else just serves that purpose.
Yeah, I think also that there's a credibility thing as well, because, you know, people often say, you know, I'll just wait for Apple to do it, because when Apple do it, they'll get it right. And, you know, that often comes, therefore, maybe that pushes Apple into a position where they're more cautious to release a VR headset or, you know, some kind of Hey Siri speaker or whatever it might be that they're working on next. Very interesting stuff. Tell us about your website and where we can read that article.
So the website is vox.com. That's V-O-X. And you can obviously find us on Facebook and Twitter and so forth.
Great. Good to speak to you, Timothy. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.